Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Her? Really? Certainly, she doesn't quite understand. Sure, she's saying all of the right churchy words. Mercy, Lord, Son of David. She even has the humble kneeling posture of a believer, and her story, man, it's well rehearsed, isn't it? Not simply, hey, could you give me some help, but my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But her? She's a Canaanite, for Pete's sake. She's not part of God's chosen people. She's not in. What is she doing approaching a Jewish rabbi, not with a question about the scriptures, not with praise and adoration, not to inquire about membership in the local synagogue, but with a selfish request? I mean, we know what's going on, right? She's probably simply heard about this miracle worker, Jesus, and his reputation. Certainly, she's just buttering him up. Talking the talk, walking the walk, telling him her extreme pity-inducing situation to get what she selfishly wants from Jesus. I mean, after all, look at what Jesus does. He says nothing to her request. This Jesus, who had compassion on the 5,000 and healed their sick before feeding them with the bread and the fish, this Jesus, who heard the exact same request from two blind men, have mercy on us, Son of David, well, he healed them. This Jesus, who saved the centurion's servant from a distance and brought the ruler's daughter back to life, this Jesus, who healed the paralytic on account of the faith of his friends, that same Jesus hears this outsider who's pleading. He says nothing. Well, the disciples certainly hear her, and they always have something to say. So they come with their own pleading. Send her away. Give her what she wants. Apparently, she's unrelenting enough in her request that she's just kind of embarrassing those disciples. This annoying outsider. And just give her request so that she can leave us alone. But Jesus, he's not so quick to dole out his healing. And he confirms our suspicions about this woman, doesn't he? I've come only for the lost sheep, the house of Israel. That is to say, this woman is not part of God's chosen people. Therefore, she is not a recipient of my word. Well, then this woman, she pulls out all the stops, right? She gives it all she's got. Soon she's on her knees, groveling and begging for Christ's help. Certainly she's done this before. She's so authentic. She's had some practice. Maybe. But then again, look at her. Suppose she is telling the truth. I mean, if my child were in that situation and I knew someone who had proven objectively time and again that he was able and willing to heal people in exactly that situation, wouldn't I do the same thing as a parent? And her words, they're so simple. Not churchy, just pleading, almost despairing. Lord, help me. You know, come to think of it, maybe she truly had heard about the fame of Jesus, and maybe she is making a personal request of him, and really, who's to say that's a dishonorable thing? And yet, even then, Jesus resorts to name-calling. He says it's not right to take what belongs to the children and to throw it to the dogs. I mean, who is this Jesus? Where's the compassion? She's already humiliated herself by prostrating herself in front of 13 Jewish men from Galilee. Maybe her annoying request does sound like the yipping of a dog, but do we really need to start calling names, Jesus? And yet, what could have been an occasion for her to crawl home humiliated in tears, back to the shroud of her daughter's demon possession. Instead, she speaks this incredible expression of faith. Yes, Lord, and even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, I wonder what that breath of a moment was like right after she spoke those words. I mean, even the disciples hadn't exhibited that kind of humility. In fact, in a couple of chapters, they're going to be arguing about who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And yet here, kneeling before their Lord, is this outsider who has the faith of a dog. She doesn't come with any sort of entitlement, any notions of personal worth or greatness. She knows she's not in, and she's more than willing to admit it. She simply trusts that even the crumbs that Christ gives are sufficient. Woman, great is your faith. Her? An outsider? Her faith that is dog-eared and rough around the edges, anything but neat and clean and calculated, her faith that by all human accounts is not amazing or wonderful, but rather empty and completely void of herself, that faith is great? It would seem that the last has become first, and the first have become the last. She truly is, in some new way, part of Israel. This little dog of a woman, in fact, proved to be a lost sheep, who was found in the most unlikely place. When I was in seminary, I used to go study at McDonald's. They had cheap coffee. And there was one time I was studying in McDonald's, and I was sort of in the corner by myself, and across the way in another corner was this old black man. And we sort of kept to ourselves, and finally he got up to leave and came and stood next to my table. I sort of looked up, said, "Hello, sir." And he said, "Son, are you a believer?" And I said, "In what?" And he kind of looked sort of indignant, you know, as if what else was there to believe in? He said, "In Jesus, boy." I said, "Yes, sir, I do believe in Jesus. In fact, I'm studying to proclaim that Jesus at the seminary right now." And he said, "God bless you." And he gave me a Jesus bumper sticker to put on my car. When he left, as I sat there looking at that bumper sticker that simply said Jesus on it, my mind started racing. Racing with all the things that I had been learning about this Jesus at the seminary, things that you certainly couldn't fit on a bumper sticker. And it didn't take long before my mind started racing with more thoughts, not thoughts about how thankful I was to encounter another fellow Christian, not thoughts wishing him blessing and peace, but in fact thoughts about how his faith is probably not as deep or profound, or great, as the faith that I was being taught. How he probably hadn't studied theology like I was, how he probably couldn't tell you all the nuances about the Christian faith like I was learning. I mean, I was learning the talk so that I could walk the walk, the real walk. But the reality is that old man knew his Bible far better than I did. And it was the simplicity of his faith that roused my own sinful pride. I mean, that's just like us, isn't it? To constantly figure out who's got the greater faith, who's in, who's out, who has more knowledge or more zeal or more humility, ironically. But you see, the story from Matthew 15 reminds us that great faith actually is faith that despairs of itself. One that cries out simply, "Lord, have mercy upon me and help me." Faith that looks not to itself and the magnitude of its sincerity, but only to Christ and the magnitude of his grace. And you see, that's why we are constantly pointed, just like this woman, not to the internal status of our faith, but to the external object of our faith, which is Christ. And specifically, it is Christ crucified and Christ risen for dogs like you and like me. You see, at the cross, you are shown how much of an outsider you are because of your sin. You are shown exactly what your sin deserves as a dog. You deserve the full, abandoning, destructive wrath of God. And when you see that, I don't know how you walk away and say, man, isn't it great how great my faith is? So glad God gave me a great faith. No, instead, you see that and you are brought to your knees. And the only thing you have left to say is, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me, a dogged sinner. And you see, the beautiful thing is that on that very same cross, you are shown Christ your Lord, who takes God's wrath upon himself so that you would be chosen and forgiven of your sin and saved from everlasting hell, from lost dog to found sheep. Such are we all under the cross of Jesus. And so the point is not whether or not your faith is great. The point is that your Lord is great. He gives you far more than crumbs from his table. He gives you his body, his blood, his full cross, and his empty tomb. So we come and we feast on the finest fare that our Lord has to give, not because of our great faith, but because of his great mercy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.